church. Boy, true words have never been spoken. We can go by what Jesus has done. That's absolutely true. If you have a Bible with you tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to talk about one of the most incredible events in the whole history of the taking over the promised land. Brother Nicholas, if you'll come, I'll have you read this verse for us.
And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout."
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Before I get into the message here, I want to mention something to you here. The Florida Worship Choir and their orchestra is going to be at First Baptist Church at the Mall on February the 1st. That's a Friday night. This concert starts at 7 p.m. If you have not heard these folks, I want to encourage you to go and see them. There's no charge to the process. There's about 150 to 200 of those. Lacey, am I right about that? Sometimes 150, 200 singers, plus a full-blown orchestra. And I promise you, it is an upbeat, very, very positive, wonderful experience. There are flyers like this. There's one on the bulletin board there. But there's some others out there in the lobby if you want to pick one up. And as a reminder for yourself, I am most definitely planning on being there with my wife and I. And it'll be nice to see some friends from there that we spent 12 years with. But this is a great worship opportunity, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. All right. Chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. We have talked about it up until this point. We realize that they are now entered into the promised land. But this promised land comes with some responsibility. They are going to have to conquer the peoples that live there. And it's not going to be an easy process every time. But God has continued to say from the very beginning that every place you put your foot down will be yours. It will belong to you. This is what I'm giving to you. I'm honoring my promise from hundreds of years earlier to Abraham, where I said that it would be your land. You would be blessed with that land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a wonderful land. It is a great place, and it's yours. However, like some promises that the Lord makes to you and I, there's a personal responsibility that goes along with that. We've talked about it for several weeks in a row now, and I don't want to beat the horse too awful long, but I don't believe at all that you can overestimate how valuable living in obedience is. Now, I don't think we'll ever be able to get past that. We need to be reminded on a regular basis, if God spoke it in His Word, and it's a command, you and I need to follow that. And if we do not follow that, it's considered disobedience, which is a sin, and it comes with consequences. I don't know of a simpler way to say that. Not trying to be negative, not trying to be cold in any way, form, or fashion. Of all the books in the Old Testament that I've ever read, the book of Joshua reconfirms that over and over and over. And in just a little while, in a week or so to come, we're going to be talking about the sin Achan. He decides that he's going to do it his way as opposed to the way that God had been telling them to do it, and it would come with great, great loss. So I want to talk about the most interesting and unusual battle strategy that you'll find in any one of these attempts that they're going to make to conquer these people. So I'm going to read quite a bit, so just follow with me if you would. Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thee, unto thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, and all ye men of war, and go round the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day Ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, those are the words of the Lord to Joshua. Here's what you're going to do, and we just don't need to rehearse that for very long. They had a protocol. The army was going to be in one place. The priests were going to be following them. They were going to have ram's horns. They were going to blow those horns. The people were going to follow. The Ark of the Covenant was going to be there, which represented the presence of God. And at a specific time, they were going to shout a great shout, and the walls were going to fall down. Never before had it ever been done. And to my knowledge in Scripture, never again would it be done like that. Now, if you were Joshua, help me out here, just get with me. If you were Joshua, would that sound like a reasonable approach to conquering a city? Seems a little weird, don't it? You ever known God to just be a little bit weird when he instructs you to do something? I don't want to blame God because he's never wrong. So I guess it would have to be me that thought it was a little bit weird. And I don't need to share any of those particular responsibilities or those particular things that God had asked me to do. Some of them you already know, and I don't need to rehearse those for you. But reading this, now Joshua was a military leader. You have to understand that. He's a military leader. They have men of war prepared. And the city of Jericho is locked up tight. The gates are shut. Nobody's going in. Nobody's coming out. I mean, it's just that simple. They are shut up tight. You see, here's the deal. The Israelites, I don't believe, they weren't prepared to defeat Jericho in a conventional manner. It's doubtful. You have to understand, these folks have been wandering around in the wilderness for a long time. There's probably little, if not any, military training. Although they had men of war, they had not been in any fight or battles except those two places on the east side of the Jordan River, and that was a picnic for them. They took that without any problem at all. And although the residents of Jericho, and we know that from the Scripture, although they were terribly afraid of the Israelites because they had heard what God had done, not only just recently in the Jordan River, but they'd heard what God had done way back there 40 years ago when he opened up the Red Sea and rescued them from the Egyptians. So these folks are coming with a reputation. And the people of Jericho are significantly scared, but the city's fortified. The city's well-armed. The city is prepared for war. And they were like most of those ancient cities. Just a little history to help us understand this. Ancient fortified cities could have walls, or they could stay within that city for months at a time, completely locked up, if there was an adequate food supply and if there was an adequate water supply. And we realize in other times, one of the great tactics of warriors would be to shut off a city so that nobody could come in or go out until the food supply ran out. And then they would be willing or able to go in and destroy that city and conquer the people. Now, they could stand there for months. Many of these cities had walls that were 20 feet in the air, and they could be as much as 8 feet thick, and they could have a number of gates, anywhere from 2 to 5 gates these cities could have. And they would, if they did like normal, they would have guards that stood up on the tops of those walls. They also had certain specific places where they would be in towers that were prepared and have archers that would shoot arrows down on people, or they might pour out hot oil on them, or they might dump rocks on them. There was a number of ways. You've seen some movies, and I've seen some movies related to how cities like that defended themselves, and it wasn't uncommon. So we have to understand that this particular strategy from God, from a purely human point of view, from a military point of view, it seems lacking, for lack of a better word. That's a strange thing. Take your group of people and march around the city one time each day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you shout when I tell you to shout. And what's going to happen before your very eyes is that these walls are going to fall down. I believe with all my heart that God told them to do that because only God could make that happen. He would get the glory, and their faith in Him would increase, and God could be trusted day after day after day to be a God of His Word. I have read before, I think it's Andy Stanley. That's Charles Stanley's son. For those of you who might not know, he wrote a lot of stuff related to student ministry back when I was doing student ministry. And he said, real faith is believing that God is everything that He said He was and that He will do everything that He's promised to do. Amen. Now, folks, that's as good as it gets. God is all He said He was, and He'll do everything that He promised. What this does for the children of Israel is this makes them understand that when God speaks to them, He means what He says. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we had truth in advertising today? My goodness. Right now, brothers and sisters, the only truth in advertising 100% all the time is this book. My wife will tell you straight up, I have a really, really, really hard time with a large percentage of the commercials that we have on TV. Oh boy, I don't want to get up on my soapbox, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lying is glorified. Half-truths are prevalent, and the large percentage of them are just pure out stupid. Sorry to be real with you for a moment, but some of the stuff is just hard to watch. Thank the Lord for DVR. And I can take that thing and I can just push the fast button and I can go through the commercials and get back to where I want to be. This passage of Scripture just moves me when I read it because what the God is doing here is He's showing these folks that I'm going to do for you exactly what I said I was going to do. And brothers and sisters, we have that same God that we serve today. And if He said it was going to happen in here, that's good enough for me. It's going to happen. He's going to do it just the way He said He was going to do it. He's going to do it for just the reason that He said He was going to do it for. And He's going to be my God. And He's never going to leave me alone. And He's going to forgive me when I ask for it. He's going to be at the right hand of the Father. And He's going to ever intercede for me. I'm going to be loved unconditionally every moment of every day of my life until I go home eternally to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I'm just saying it don't get any better than that. When we know that we can trust God. So this is a huge issue. I believe this battle plan, and what's interesting about it is there's not going to be one thing related to a battle for quite a while here. God is saying, if you'll just do what I told you to do, I will do everything I promised you that I would do. That's not complicated, is it? We don't hear that a lot today. A lot of preachers, I'm afraid, don't want to go to that place because they're going to be criticized. I'm just simple. I just believe it like it's written. I don't have a problem with that. I hope y'all don't have a problem with that. So now Joshua has the opportunity to share the information that he has coming from God. He's to share that information with the people. Follow the story. Listen to what he says to them. Verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests, and he said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward, or those that came behind, the soldiers that came behind, that came after the ark, and the priests going on, and the blowing with the trumpets. And here's the verse that was read earlier. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, and then shall you shout." I don't see any problem with those instructions. That sounds to me just exactly like what God said for Joshua to do. He prepared those people. He got them all lined up the way it was supposed to have been done. And they were to march out there, and it put the places, the armed guards were in their right places. The ark was in its right place. The people was in there, were in their right place. The procession was to happen. And once a day, for 6 days, they would march around that city, and they'd go back to camp. Now, here's the reason I had Nicholas read this verse. Is here's what really speaks to me. They couldn't talk while they're doing that. Why in the world is that significant? Let me share you a personal experience. Diane was there. She'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Several years ago, they had what was called a Good Friday service at First Baptist at the Mall. Pastor Jay made a comment, something like this. They have all kinds of services out there that conflict with what we celebrate as Christians. And Christmas don't look anything like Christmas in the world, not the way we understand it from the Word of God. Oftentimes Easter don't look anything like Easter the way it's presented in the Word of God. He said, but the world don't have anything for that particular day. He said, but we need to remember, because it was right at Easter time. He said, we need to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. And oftentimes we blow by that like it doesn't even matter any longer. And we had a very solemn service, and the music was solemn, and the music was very pointed, and the things that were sung and the things that were spoken and the prayers that were prayed. And then when you came into the building, there was a sign on a standard, I guess, a platform or whatever, like a pulpit. But it was, please turn off your cell phones and don't talk. Now, at that time, it wasn't unusual to have 1,500 to 2,000 people in that service. To experience that kind of silence speaks volumes. I can't really explain it to you unless I just stop talking for 30 seconds and let you grab a moment of silence. He said, we need to just to get rid of all of our distractions. Don't be thinking about what you're going to cook tomorrow, where you have to go, what you have to do next. And then he said this at the end of the service. Yeah, I get a little emotional, because it was real. He said, and when you leave, don't speak a word until you're in your car and you're driving out of the parking lot. I'll tell you, it's amazing to feel the emotion wrapped up in 2,000 people leaving the building in total silence. I'm talking about kids included. It was unforgettable. It was a moment that I'll never forget. Because what you realize is that what we just did was a worship service. It was a remembrance. It was getting our attention away from our life and the world that we lived in, and the things that were on our plate that needed to be accomplished. It was a disconnect from the entire world that we lived in for about an hour and a half. And it was phenomenal. And I'm satisfied that this march around this city for these people was a worship experience. It looks like a military experience, and in some ways it will be. But the march around this city, he was not suggesting anything. He was commanding them. Listen to the verse again. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, and then you shall shout. And I thought about this for a while, and I'm thinking, that seems kind of strange, don't it? But we're social people as Baptists. We like to talk, and we like to celebrate fellowship with one another, and that's a good thing, and I enjoy it as much as the next guy. But sometimes, isn't it just great to be quiet? God says, be still and know that I am the Lord. There's some moments, folks, we need to just suspend our agenda and start thinking about his agenda for us. We shared a little bit of this in Sunday school this morning. There are moments when we come to church, and trust me, I get it what I'm fixing to say to you. I've been in every level of this. You love to come and get in God's house and be with God's people and sing God's songs and fellowship with God's people. And you love to leave there feeling wonderful, and you've been at church and you've been with God's people. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God oftentimes, and He reveals it to you, and He confirms you in what you're doing, and He says, well, what you're doing is right, and I'm going to make you feel good about it. And the Spirit of God confirms you, and sometimes what you hear preached fits right where it needs to fit, and you leave here knowing you've been in God's presence, and it was a good experience, and you feel good about it. And sometimes you are broken in your spirit, and difficult things have happened. Maybe you're considerably ill, or you're hurting, or you're in recovery, or all of the above things. You're in grieving process. And sometimes the Spirit of God does what one of the things that the Spirit of God promised to do, and He comforts you. You feel the closeness of God, and you feel the closeness of that Spirit, and you feel the closeness of God's people, because they're loving on you, and they're hugging you, and they're encouraging you, and it's a beautiful thing how the Spirit of God does that. But other times, let's just be real for a minute. Other times the Word of God is preached or sung or taught or whatever, and in your spirit, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is making the Word of God very real to you. And what happens is you begin to feel convicted, because God's Spirit is speaking directly to you about something that maybe was brought up by the preaching or the singing. I've sat out there and wept because I listened to songs that touched my heart in a way that I could not cry. So we can't always come in here and leave on top of the world. You see, I believe that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to speak to us. And there are moments that I have left the church, and if I'd have been the only person in the building, the preacher would have been preaching right to me. Maybe you've felt that before. And when you left here, you said, gee, I wish I'd have stayed home, watched one of them TV preachers. At least I could have gone and got me a glass of tea when it got tough. You understand what I'm saying to you? There are moments when we just need to be quiet in our spirit and let God speak. And the other side of that story is those folks that were inside of that city and them guys standing on that wall when this army began to pace around there, they make one lap and go back to the camp. They're already terrified. Can you imagine how much more terrified they're going to be when they keep seeing this same group of people out there for 6 straight days? What's going to happen next? What are they going to do now? What's going to happen to us next? And it just ramps up. I'm sorry, I'm leaking. It just ramps up their terror. Just them being out there. I mean, if I had, let's just think if I was back in the dinosaur days and I had a Tyrannosaurus Rex walking around my house once a day for 6 days, what that'd make me feel like? You know, when's he going to bite the end off the house and the next thing he's going to do is he's going to get me? It ramps that stuff up. So God had a dual purpose here. One is he's reminding the people that this is all his plan. He's going to do what he promised he would do. He's already told Joshua, I have given this city into your hands. They've not even been an arrow shot yet. They've not had a march yet. They have done nothing militarily yet. Not a single thing has been done. They're not even at the walls yet. And God has already told Joshua, I got this. This is yours. You can't lose today. Just follow my instructions. And I'm thinking, wow, oh, gee, this is the Old Testament. This is stuff that's thousands of years ago. How in the world can it be good for me today? Because the same God that promised it to Joshua promises you and me. Do what I told you to do, and I will bless you. That's not complicated, is it? Live in obedience, and I will bless you in ways you couldn't even imagine. There are battles you're going to have to fight, and they're bigger than you. But if you'll give them to me and you'll do things my way, all you need to do is step out of the way. The fight is really mine and you're the beneficiary of what I'm willing to do for you if you will trust me. I think that's as contemporary as tomorrow, folks. Because there have been times when, let's just face it, I've been out of aces. I don't know what to do next. I'm not sure where to go next. I'm not certain who to trust next. But not true with God. Because as a believer, I have the privilege, like you just said, my brother, just like you said about singing, I have the privilege to go to my Lord and simply confess that I am, this is bigger than me, and I cannot handle this, and I need your wisdom, and I need your grace, and I need your mercy, and Lord, I need you to do something maybe miraculous in my life because I can't do this on my own. And God is showing them right straight up, if you'll just trust me, and do it my way, you cannot lose. Can't lose. I love it. I love it. You get down to verse 11. God has spoken. Now Joshua has spoken. What's the next step? They need to do what they're told. Verse 11. So the ark of the Lord can pass the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and they lodged in the camp. They went out one day, they did one lap, and they came back to the camp, just like they were told. Verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went out continually. And they blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. They did exactly as they were instructed to do, and things are going really well. On day six, things are still going really well. Nobody's coming out. Nobody's going in. Difficulties are being overcome. People inside the city are terrified because they're pretty sure the end is coming, and it is. People outside the city, although they might have thought that that instruction was strange or weird or what in the world is God up to, they're willing to accept their instruction instead of what they might be thinking on their own. Has God ever asked you to do something that you want to argue with him about? Doesn't stop preaching, going to meddling now. And God ever said, hey, listen, I'd like for you to do this, or I'd like you to go there, I'd like you to serve here, I'd like you to do that. And you said, whoa, time out, not me. That's not where I belong. No. Does God know what he's talking about? Is there any time that he don't know what he's talking about? No. So they did what they were told for 6 days. 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That's just too weird. That's all you got to do, brothers and sisters, is what he said to do. And he's got it. It's not complicated. I'm the one that makes it complicated for Kenny. Because sometimes, let's just face it, I would prefer to argue with God than to simply do what he told me. Y'all ever lived that? You ever been there? Really? You want me to go out and march around the city 6 times, once a day? Really? And not do a single thing? Really? And on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. And when we shout, the walls are all going to fall down. We're talking about walls sticking up for people to walk on 20 feet in the air. God, do you really know what you're talking about? Yes, he does. Always. And he will always know what he's talking about. And then it gets really pointed. And I'm going to have to finish this tonight. So maybe if you're going to hear the end of the story, you're either going to have to read the rest of it or maybe come back tonight and hear the rest of it. Verse 17 says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Joshua said, you shout, the walls will be at your feet. And he said, and when that happens, don't you touch anything in the city. Make sure that you go get Rahab and all of those people that are in her household. And that is exactly what was promised by the 2 messengers that went out to spy out the city. Rahab hid them, protected them, allowed them to get back to the children of Israel. And now they're going to honor the promise that they made to her. If you stay in the place where you're supposed to be, if you stay in your house, everybody who's in there will be saved. What I was having a hard time getting my head around, her house was built on the wall. And it said that all the walls fell down. Well, apparently all the walls fell down except that one little place where Rahab was at. Isn't that interesting? The whole place except where she lives falls flat on the ground with a shout. But Rahab's family is protected because that was promised to her. And they did not forget that. And I don't know the time frame between when they were promised and when they actually come in here and did this. But they were told that you'll go get her and all that are with her in the house because she did what she needed to do and she hid the messengers so that they might be safe. And he said, for sure, here's what I want you to do. Make sure that you don't pick up anything, because everything here is accursed. And if you pick it up, you're going to make yourself accursed. And when you do that, because you're part of us, you will make us accursed as well. And we will suffer the consequences of your choices. Folks, that's going to happen. That's coming down the road. But what I need you to hear about this whole process is none of us is an island in the body of Christ. None of us is an island in God's church at Lena Vista Baptist in Auburndale. None of us is an island. What you do affects me, and what I do affects you. And the thing about it is that obedience promises a blessing, and disobedience promises consequences. And as soon as we really get our head around that for the entire spectrum of the ministry that God gives us the privilege to do here, the better off we're going to be. My attitude, my opinion, my passion, my faith, my leadership is going to affect the same kinds of things in your life as those kinds of things are going to affect me. Together we are successful. Separated we are in trouble. In obedience we are successful. in disobedience, we are in trouble. Following God's leadership and doing what He tells us to do, we will be successful. God promised it. Having our own way, doing our own thing, making our own judgments, and making sure that I get what I want is sometimes, folks, it can be the kiss of death for any kind of ministry. We're going to see in Achan's life here in the next week or so what kind of a disaster it was to ignore the clear instructions that he was given. So here's the point. Do we trust God today? Not only individually, but corporately. When he gives us something that he wants us to do, are we willing to step up and do it? Or would we rather argue with him? Maybe you're here today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you've always had some kind of an excuse or in your own mind a reason why you never made that step. Maybe you've known for a long time, I need to step out that aisle in the invitation. I need to come down there and grab that pastor by the hand. And I need to say to him, the Holy Spirit of God made the Word of God real. And I am lost as yesterday and I need to be saved today. Would you pray with me and pray for me that I might receive him as my Lord and Savior? I want to step away from what I've always done. And I want to step into what I need to be doing. And this is it. Sometimes, folks, in the silence that goes on within us, the Lord Jesus speaks. And he wants you to do something. Maybe you need to join his church. Maybe life is just twisted all up and you need some altar time just to come down here and ask God for wisdom and guidance and discernment about the things that you need to do in your lifetime. I don't know what you need, but you do. So I'm just asking you, would you be obedient today if the Holy Spirit's telling you to get up and do something about it? Would you do it? Not for your glory, but for His glory and for your growth. He is a God of His Word, and you can trust Him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for all you are. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. I thank you for men like Joshua who just said, you know what, God, if you said it, I'm going to go do it. I don't need a plan of my own. Lord, I'm just going to do what you said for me to do. And wow, look at the success. And God, it's not complicated. We live the same kind of way. You want the same thing from us. You want us to do what you say. And God, sometimes it's hard because we have sin in our lives. Sometimes it's difficult because we listen to other voices in our ears about things that we know we should not do. But God, I just pray that during this invitation that life would change for someone. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for all you are and all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?